You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. But before we start, let me just remind you that my business partner, Rick Franzi, and I co-host the Critical Mass radio shows, which air every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m., and all are brought to you live right here on octalkradio.net. That is talk radio, so let me give you our call-in numbers, 949-713-6443 and 949-713-6447. Hey, if you'd like to participate in today's discussion, if you agree, if you disagree, if you just have an opinion, be sure to give us a call. Join us on the air. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we're going to do something a little different today. We have a new book that's coming out, The Coaching Perspective, Coaching from the Client's Perspective. And we thought what we'd do is share a couple of the early chapters with our audience today. Not just out of pure ego here, but also as an attempt to get some feedback. You know, the book is in a draft form. It's with the editor now, having the editor review it and make any suggestions. And we thought, why limit ourselves to just one editor when we have a whole radio audience out here that has opinions and has experience in the coaching world? So we're going to share some of that with you. I'll be reading it to you here, and hopefully you're going to enjoy it, and even more so, hopefully it's going to spur some thoughts and some conversation from you. So let's get right into it with from the book. You know, after almost two decades of coaching executives, I've read countless books on what coaching is and even more on how to coach. I've attended countless seminars to listen to the experts share their tips on successful coaching. So what more could be added to this body of knowledge that hasn't already been covered? Well, the answer was right in front of me in the very name of our coaching practice, The Coaching Perspective. It is the why of coaching. Why people need a coach and why coaches do what they do. What I think has been missed was to look at coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. You know, the topic of what the coach should do has been well covered by both coaches and coaching schools. But where was the information for the client, telling him or her how to get the most from their coaching experience? Yes, there's been some written about how the client should go about selecting a coach, too little in my opinion. But what about the actual coaching session itself? What does the client need to do to prepare for it? Or is it okay to just show up and ask the coach to lead the conversation? Is it really all about the client's agenda? Or does the coach also have an agenda? And if so, how does this impact the coaching? And should the coach and should the client know what it is? What are the differences between individual and group coaching, and when is one more appropriate than the other? Also, much has been written about definition of terms for the coach, but have these been shared with the clients? And how much more effective would the coaching be if they had been? What about the 800-pound gorilla that always sits in on every coaching session? That is, the urge by the coach to mentor, train, or consult. Is it really necessary to not only pretend this gorilla is not there, but also to conscientiously exclude him from the discussion? These and many more coaching topics are reviewed in this new book that looks at coaching from the client's perspective. While it is written for the client, it's also a must-read for the coach who wants to truly help prepare his client for breakthrough coaching performances. In the book, we've identified where we're talking to the client and where we are sharing information with the coach. It'd be a little hard for you to determine that here on today's radio broadcast, but let's just proceed. So let's start. Let me tell you a true adventure story about a journey called coaching. The story revolves around two main characters and, of course, me, the storyteller. The two characters are named the client and the coach. And I have a unique role to play in telling you this story, in that I've been playing both of these roles in real life for many years. You are probably already familiar with the basic plot. The client hires a coach to go on a journey. However, what I'm going to share with you is the unique perspectives that each of these two characters has about the journey, plus my own perspective of the journey as the storyteller. In doing this, I hope to help you, the listeners, the readers, both clients and coaches, to be better prepared for your own future journeys. Well, let me clarify what I meant at the start of this by saying this was a true adventure story. In this case, truth is a relative word in the sense that it is my truth. It is what I have learned as a client over 15 years with a master coach who has helped me through both business and personal issues. It is what I've experienced in almost 20 years of coaching hundreds of business executives involved in almost every field you can imagine. And it is my interpretation of what I've learned from others by reading their books, attending their lectures, and then forming my own opinions based on that knowledge. It's what I've taken away from my coaching training with the Coaches Training Institute and the continuing education that has been necessary to retain my Master Certified Coach designation by the ICF. Like you, my truth is based on my perspective of any issue, and this is what our story is all about, the coaching perspective from the client's and the coach's viewpoint. While much of our story will focus on the journey of coaching, which is the coach's typical perspective, I want to focus on the client's perspective, which is first about the destination and only secondarily about the journey. I like to compare these two perspectives to the difference between a sailor and a powerboater. As a sailor, for me, it was all about the journey, except when I was in a race. It was about enjoying the experience of being on the water, of handling the boat, and only sometimes about arriving at a destination. You know, some have described sailing as hours of boredom interspersed with moments of sheer terror. Well, for me, the hours of boredom were precious moments of enjoyment. It was the journey, and in that sense, it was the ultimate destination. And this is what most coaching books have focused on, the journey. However, I do not believe, based on my experience, that clients sign up for coaching with the sole goal of going on a journey. I think they're like the powerboaters. They have a specific destination in mind. That is not to say that they will not enjoy or even learn from the journey, but that their goal is the end result, the destination. They're looking at coaching to provide them tools to help them reach their destination. Sometimes they're even looking for help in determining the destination. But I've never had a client whose goal was the journey. So this story focuses on how you, the client, can use coaching to reach your destination or goals, shorten the journey, make the journey more enjoyable, or in some cases even modify the end destination. You know, it serves the coach well to keep in mind that the client's focus is on reaching the destination and not on the journey. Well, let's take a quick look at the main characters in this story. We'll start with the client. That is you, a person who is thinking about hiring a coach or a person who has a coach and wants to get even more from that relationship. You may be interested in business coaching, which can help you to define more clearly your goals, improve your working relationships with peers, subordinates, or your boss, become a better manager or leader, or you may be new to your role in the company. You may be interested in life coaching, which can help you with your personal relationships with family and friends. Perhaps you need help in making a career change, or you may be facing that dreaded midlife crisis we all read about. You may have decided that you need an outside perspective on these issues, both business and life, that you're facing. You may feel that you need help in sorting things out and getting clear on what is the real issue that you're trying to focus on. You know, for the coach, this may be helpful to refresh your memory on how the client coming to coaching for the first time looks at things that have become second nature to you. It may provide you a tool to use with your clients to get them ready for the coaching journey. Well, our other main character, of course, is the coach. You know, as recently as 10 years ago, when you said you were a coach, the assumption was that you meant a sports coach. Today, coaches come in more varieties than we have time to discuss. The very definition of the term coaching still depends on whom you're talking to. Some draw a very hard line between the terms coach, mentor, consultant, and teacher, while others are not as concerned about the differences. For those in the coaching field, the major distinctions are life or business coaching, and this book refers to both and any others for our story. And hopefully this story will help the new client to see what the coach does and how they go about guiding them on this coaching journey. It's important that for coaches that one of the first conversations that you want to have with a new client is to explore your definitions and reach a clear understanding about the services that you are offering and what the client is really expecting. The last character in our story here is the storyteller. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I have been in both the client and the coach role. As a client, I have had the same coach for 15 years and could not imagine changing. When I first came home and told my wife that I was hiring a coach who's a woman, her response to question was to question, what was I going to tell this stranger that I couldn't talk to her about, and did we have a problem she was not aware of? Well, it didn't take long for her to not only accept my having a coach and my choice of a coach, but for her to develop the automatic response when we had a difference of opinion that sounded like this. I think you should talk to your coach about this, Doug. You know, I've been coaching for 18 years and been a master certified coach since 1999. I frequently refer to what I do as coach salting, meaning that I coach and consult. My coaching is with business people from the manager level to the top executive. It ranges from startups to multinational companies. I have a degree in finance and computer science, which is to say that I tend to be comfortable with numbers and computers, but I'm not an expert any longer with either. I have been creating and facilitating CEO peer groups for executives since 1994. My coaching clients hire me because I talk their language, not because I'm going to bring the exact solution to their problem. I've worked for large corporations, small companies, and started my own companies. I've lived with office politics and been kept awake at night wondering how to make payroll this week. These are the windows through which I see the world, practice my coaching, and write this story. So let's move on to the start of the story, which is deciding who is the best person to guide you on this journey. Before we go there, let's take a commercial break here. I see our producer waving to me, and then we'll be back.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gaffella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
You know, before we get back to the story, let me remind you that in addition to coaching, part of the service that we offer here at Critical Mass is CEO peer groups. You know, our radio show really is an extension of our 18-year business practice where we have been building and facilitating CEO peer groups here in Orange County for executives, all under the brand Renaissance Executive Forums, an international organization. Rick and I are currently leading multiple CEO peer groups. And if you'd like to learn more about our peer groups or about our coaching practice, I would encourage you to check out our website, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. And also be sure to listen to our radio shows. Well, let's get back to our story, coaching from the client's perspective. Defining the destination. So the story starts with you, the client, thinking about hiring a coach. What prompted this thought? Did someone suggest you hire a coach to help with something you were complaining about or wishing about? Did your boss suggest you hire a coach? Did you meet a coach who suggested you hire him or her, or did you just realize that you lack something that would help you reach your destination or your goals and thought a coach would help? So what do you do today when you decide to buy something new? Well, you go to the internet, of course. But let's say you're going to buy a car. Would you start by defining what you really needed and the reasons for a car? Would you eliminate trucks, sports cars, and SUVs and focus on cars that gave you great gas mileage? And if you wanted a car that gave you great gas mileage, would you ask your next-door neighbor who had just bought a Ferrari where he got his? The first step in your search for a coach is to find the end results you're looking for. Just like in the car example, if you're looking for great gas mileage, you look in different places than if you were looking for a sports car. You know, people use coaches for many reasons, but as we've already stated, the bottom line is usually they need help in reaching some destination, some end result or goal. That destination may be behavioral in the sense that you want to change a way you're currently behaving, or it may be a new behavior that you want to adopt. Some examples are, I need help in becoming a better listener. I need help in expressing my feelings. I need help in controlling my emotions. Or I just need someone to talk things out with and to get honest feedback. You know, I need someone to talk to about my issues. You know, many clients feel that to say they need someone to talk to is a sign of weakness. It's admitting, this is especially in the business world, it's admitting that they can't handle the situation, a definite no-no in the macho business world. For some, it says that I can't talk to my business partner or spouse about these issues, either because they won't understand the issue, or I can't trust them to be honest with me about the issue, or maybe it would just be embarrassing to discuss this with them. These could be valid reasons, or they may be just excuses. These people might not really understand, or they truly may not be trusted to give you honest feedback. Well, this is one of the most common reasons for people to decide to hire a coach, having someone to talk to. It's also one that is seldom expressed early on in the coaching engagement. It's up to the coach to peel back the discussion to identify that having someone to talk to may be one of the client's primary needs. It's also up to the coach to be sure that the client always gets honest feedback. Being honest about feedback is not usually an issue for the coach, but not telling the client things they do not want to hear is frequently an issue. The coach is the mirror for the client, reflecting back on how others are perceiving the client with no filtering taking place. The client needs to know that they'll get honest feedback and that they will not be judged negatively for needing that help. What if you're coming to coaching because you're having trouble with some type of relationship? You know, the number one reason that managers hire a coach for one of their staff is because of relationship issues. This is also an area where group coaching or a combination of individual and group coaching might be called for. Statistics show that the number one reason that employees leave a company is because of their relationship with their direct supervisor. Only through the use of a coach, someone not involved in the relationship, can the issues be brought out into the open in a non-threatening way that allows the participants to create new perspectives and guidelines for moving forward. For the coach, this is an area that needs to be carefully evaluated to determine if group coaching is the preferred solution over individual coaching. Relationship coaching in a business environment is as critical as if you were dealing with a marital situation. You know, the destination that the client is looking for may be skill-oriented in that they want to learn a new skill or get better at existing skills. Some examples could be, I need help in writing this book. I need help in becoming a better manager. I need help communicating better, or I need help in solving a particular business problem. You know, the key words here are help solving, which is a lot different than I need the answer. If you just want the one right answer to a business problem, then hire the best and most experienced consultant that you can find who has a track record of dealing in this area. However, be cautious, because often the issue or problem that we think we need an answer to is not the real issue. What a good coach will do is lead you through a series of steps to be sure that the issue you've stated is the real underlying issue and not just a symptom of the problem. The coach will then work with you to identify different ways that you can look at the problem and potential solutions. You know, for the coaches, that we are trained not to give advice, but to believe that the client is whole, healthy, and fully capable of solving their own problems. However, this new perspective has to fight with years of experience gained by solving problems for other people. In the real world, a good coach will first ask questions to help the client gain a new perspective that will help them to solve the problem. And only when this does not appear to be working will the coach then ask the client for permission to volunteer perhaps a solution, a number of solutions, or opinions. Another main reason people come to coaching is because they feel they have time management problems. You know, we all have a time management problem in that we could use more time. But what is the real issue, since we cannot add more hours to the day or days to the week? Time management is just a symptom for a number of issues. It may be lack of focus. It may be not setting priorities. It may be the inability to delegate properly, or it may be our inability to say no to requests. A coach will help you to dig deeper to find out what is the real cause of your time management problem, and then work with you to set up systems and procedures to deal with it. You know, for the coach, the caution here is to work with the client to find out the real cause, not just the effect of what the client thinks the problem is. You know, we go to the doctor because we have symptoms, and we look to him or her to tell us what is the real disease and how to treat it. Coaching is similar in that we provide the diagnosis, but then rely on the client to treat themselves with our help to keep them focused and accountable. Speaking of accountable, the destination that many clients have is accountability. It's where they already know what they need to do, but you just don't seem to be able to accomplish it on your own. Some examples that we all are familiar with is that I need a trainer to push me at the gym, or I need someone to report to that will encourage me in my progress. You know, even the best self-starters still need someone to hold them accountable for taking action. It's not enough to just make plans. We have to follow through with them, even after the initial excitement of creativity is gone. One of the pitfalls of being the CEO or owner is that there is nobody to hold you accountable for either starting to do those things you do not really like to do or finishing those tasks that you've now lost interest in. Not everything can be delegated. Some tasks are best done by you and done now. For the coach, a key role that the coach plays is to keep track of what actions the client has committed to do at the end of each coaching session, and then follow up at the start of the next session on what progress has been achieved. Making sure that the client acknowledges that they're going to take action and that specific, measurable milestones have been identified is the best way to wrap up each coaching session. If at the next session no progress has been made, then this needs to be discussed in detail before going on to today's hot topic. If this becomes a pattern of setting goals and then discarding them, the coach needs to explore with the client what the impacts of this behavior are on their life and whether they're willing to live with it. You know, understanding for the client, understanding what you're trying to achieve is the first step in selecting a coach. You wouldn't hire the best football coach to coach you on improving your relationships with fellow workers. While this train of thinking seems obvious to the client, it is not always obvious to the coach. The reason for that is that most coaches have been trained to believe that their role is one of inquiry only, which means that they do not give advice, but instead focus on asking questions in the belief that the client already knows the answer and just needs help in unlocking their brain to get at it. This is not a false belief, but it is the cause for many misunderstandings between coaches and clients. Remember the sailor versus the powerboater example? What happens when the client comes looking for answers that he truly does not have, and the coach focuses on the process, not the results? We'll talk more about this when we look at the coaching contract. If it's a corporate environment that we're working in, then this is the stage where it gets a little trickier, because now there are three people involved in the coaching relationship: the coach, you as the client and the company represented by whomever. In this kind of a situation, the company, since they're paying the bill, needs to be part of the coaching relationship. They're not sitting in the coaching sessions. They don't get a report of what went on in the coaching sessions, but they have a right and, in fact, an obligation to identify at the beginning of the coaching to both the coach and to you as the client why they hired a coach. What is it that they want to be worked on? And what are they expected to see in the way of results or changes? You know, as a coach, I want to know that that person representing the company, I want them to sit down with me and with the client that I'm going to be coaching and agree in front of each other, plus in writing, what are the objectives of this coaching engagement. Then the person being coached, the client, must agree that they're okay with that and that this is something that needs to be worked on and they want to use a coach to help them work on it. At this point, we have an understanding between the coach, the client, and the company that we're going to coach on those issues. But we're also going to agree that we're not going to confine ourselves to exclusively coaching on those issues. In other words, the relationship is left open to understand that there may be other things that may come up. There are things that are causing this issue. There may be things that are an outcome of this issue that this person needs to be coached on. And as they're coached, we'll work on those issues. The coach does not agree to restrict himself to just working on the agreed-upon goals, but does guarantee that he'll focus coaching on the issues that the company has identified as a number one priority. You know, now that you, the client, have defined the destination of the goal that you want out of coaching, how do you go about selecting the right coach? Well, that's where we would be moving to, but let's take a word from our sponsor here.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Smart Business Magazine. If you're not reading it, you should. They cover 18 major metropolitan regions across the U.S., Orange County being one of those, and they feature both local and national news on CEOs and major companies. So take a look at it. You know, we've been talking about the book, The Coaching Perspective, but it's not the only book within our Critical Mass series. My business partner, Rick Franzi, is the author of the book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, which has been called the definitive guide to the CEO peer group experience. And it's available for sale on Amazon and can be found by typing in under author Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. And Rick and I have released our second book, The Power of CEO Guiding Principles, which is based on interviews with 62 of Orange County's top CEOs, and it's also available on Amazon and in print and Kindle format. Our third book here is going to be the one we've been talking about today, Coaching from the Client's Perspective. And in the next few months, we'll be releasing the fourth book, which is The Power of CEO Guiding Principles 2, Son of Guiding Principles, and features interviews with some top executives from the past year. Well, this is all to say that here at Critical Mass for Business, we're trying to provide information that you can use to make better, more informed decisions. And our audience on our Tuesday show is really CEOs and businesses here in Orange County. And our audience here on our Thursday show is those of you who are practicing and working in the HR field. And we hope that you're going to enjoy the guests that we have to interview and the information that we have to share with you, and that you'll find it not only enjoyable, that you'll find it helping you make better decisions. Well, you know, we tried something a little different today. We shared with you excerpts from our upcoming book, Coaching from the Client's Perspective. We'd love to get your feedback on it. It is going to press shortly, but hey, if you see things we're missing and if you don't agree, we'd love to hear about it and be able to modify it and amend it. This is we're not really looking at an e-book that's going to be rewritten on a daily basis, but hey, that's not a bad idea either. It's not that we're opposed to it. So, on behalf of my business partner, Rick Franzi, and I, this is Doug Gefeller, thanking you for tuning in today and hoping that what we have given you is information that will help you to make better, more informed business decisions.
You've been listening to The Coaching Perspective, only on OCTalkRadio.net.